Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and praise the Lord for the testimonies. What a blessing that is as we see our young people go to senior high camp, and for many of those, it's been their last camp, and you never know just how God will work through a camp to redirect or direct for the rest of their lives. And it's just a blessing to see how God's working, especially through this year's camp. All right, this time, let's go ahead and stand. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd turn with me to the book of Ruth, On Sunday nights, we've been going through and the divisions of the Bible, Now, last Sunday night, we started with the second division of the Bible, which is the historical division of the Bible. There's 12 different books in the books of history. As you start reading and studying your Bible, realizing the second division will give you the history or the timeline of the nation of Israel. And there's 12 books in the Bible that helps us to follow that timeline. Now, the book of Ruth is in between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. The book of Ruth does not advance the history or the timeline of Israel, but what it does do, it reveals to us some insight into what was taking place amongst a lot of the families in Israel at that time, before the time of Samuel and then the kind of time of the kings, okay? So we find this insight in this book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth, much of the book is about Ruth herself. And that's why we have the title of Ruth. But tonight what I want to do, I want to preach a brief message. It's not going to be long. I know that we've been here a little bit long leading up to the preaching tonight. But there's much to learn from the Bible character Naomi and the divisions of the Bible during this time. I think that it will all come together and learning what we can learn through the books of the Bible and studying the division. So here in the book of Ruth, we're going to be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then drop down to verse 14, okay? So the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Now drop down to verse 14. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all of the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church and what a blessing it was just to hear of how you worked, answering prayer and even fasting in the lives of our teenagers. And I just pray that they would continue to stay committed, Lord, not only here in the next few days, but for life concerning decisions that they've made. I ask God that you meet with us and bless as we study this story and this life of Naomi here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Naomi, Elimelech, and their two sons leave their promised land of Judah. As they left the promised land of Judah, they were not leaving because God told them to. They left out of the will of God. They moved to Moab. As they are in the land of Moab, we find that God chastens them, and first of all, he takes the life of Elimelech. After the father dies, and they are still staying there, and they marry at that particular time, then the two sons die, which leaves Naomi and one daughter-in-law, whose name was Ruth, to return back to Judah. When they return back to the promised land, the land that God had planted them in, we find that Naomi says, with her own testimony, this is what she explains happened to her. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. By her own testimony. Now, you can't tell somebody else that God's chastening them by doing this or doing that or this happening to them. That's between that person and God. We are not to take the place of the Holy Spirit and think that we can understand how God is working in everyone else's life. No, we need to be concerned about how God is working in our lives. And the idea here is, if God is chastening you, you know it. You don't have to be told by somebody else. You know what's taking place because God will deal with you individually as his child. Naomi understood what had taken place in her life. And we have it recorded that we might learn from this example during the days of the judges, this dispensation of time, when they were in between leaders and in between kings and the judges ruled, and they're in between a powerful judge at this particular time. And so God's judgment, when God used the judges, as we preached on last Sunday night, Israel would cry out to God and God would deliver them. He would send a judge to deliver them. During the time of the judge, they had the blessings of God. The land flowed with milk and honey, and they had everything that they desired and wanted, and God blessed them. When the judge died, the people would turn around, and they would rebel against God. They forgot about what they had just learned from the judge that stood before them, and they went their own way. And when they forgot what God just had told them, and maybe some of the commitments that they made under that judge, we find that the people went their way, and they did that which was not what God wanted them to do. And some of them even left the entire promised land and they moved to a heathen land of the Moabites. And God judged them. If you're God's child, listen to me, you cannot live a sinful life without the chastisement of God. If you can live a sinful life without God's chastisement, you're not saved. You're not God's child. But if you're saved, I guarantee you, if you're saved, when you're doing that which you might think is hid from everybody else, God knows what's going on, and God will send chastisement into your life, and you alone will understand that it is judgment of God. That's the story of Naomi. Naomi, by her own testimony, says, I went out full. But she didn't acknowledge it at the time. The definition of full is having within its limits all that it can contain. When she looked back on what she had when she left the will of God, she acknowledged it as being full. But they went out. They didn't acknowledge it. Can I tell you, Satan would love to blind you to the blessings of God upon your life. Every one of us here have more than what we acknowledge. Yeah, every one of us here have definitely more than we deserve. But Satan will blind you to what you have, and he'll get you focused on the things that really don't matter as much when it comes right down to it. There was a famine. The Bible says in Ruth 1, there was a famine. Being full does not mean that we're going to live without problems, without burdens. Every believer will bear and is supposed to bear their own burdens. It's the burdens that God allows you to have that will prepare you to be the person that God wants you to be. It's the trials that we go through that helps us to draw closer to God, that will strengthen our faith. There is a purpose for every burden that God allows us to bear. There's a purpose for every trial that we go through. The nation of Israel, they were instructed, if they were going through trials, if they had problems in their land, if there was famine in the land. Matter of fact, I was just going to go over it. I want to read it to you for 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want you to see exactly what the Bible says about it. And they knew this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the instructions he gave Israel as they went into the promised land. Naomi knew this. Elimelech knew this. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will hear their land. So we find here that Naomi, now as she comes back, she acknowledged we were full. At the time, they did not acknowledge that they were full. They were fleeing a famine. They had more than they understood and more than they acknowledged to God that they had. They left because they wanted more money. They left because they wanted more provisions. There was a famine in the land, and so they leave the promised land of Israel. They left the land that God planted them in. Now they're rebelling from God because God says, when this happens, and it was happening, there's a reason for that, and there's sin in the land. There's something that's going on that needs to be changed. And instead of leaving, trying to run from God, turn to God. Amen. Pray. Seek God's will. Seek God's face. Ask God, what is it that you have me in this trial to learn? This burden that I'm bearing right now, these things that I'm having to go through, God, what is it that you want to teach me in the midst of bearing this burden? Instead of trying to get out from under the burden and have somebody else carry it or try to run from that trial, look to God in the midst of that trial because God has a purpose for that trial in your life. They didn't do that. They left. God did not tell them to leave the land, but to draw closer to Him. So they went out full, but they didn't know it. God dealt with her. Tremendous losses. Now she comes back at least 10 years later. And she tells him, God has judged me. I'm a woman of sorrows. Because now I realize that when I left, I really had more than I thought I had, and I was full. But now I'm empty. Empty means containing nothing. Lost everything. She full, she had a husband. Empty, he died. Full, she had two sons. She comes home empty, she has no sons. Full, had fellowship with God. Empty, she had lost fellowship. You don't lose your relationship with God, but you lose fellowship with God when you're living in sin. And you're running from God instead of running to God. Yeah. Full, she had a church family. Empty, she had nothing. She's gone out and she left the church family. She's in Moab, empty. She's left without a husband. She's left without her two sons. She's left without a loving, supporting family. And by her own admission, she's empty. We lose sight of what we have to be thankful for. We're close to being on empty. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 2, in Moab, they lost God's will. They lost the fellowship, but they stayed. To start with, they lost the fellowship of God. They understood this. Because we know that in God's will, you have fellowship with God. And they stayed. The Bible says the first form of chastisement, the one that was in charge of the family, the one that had the leadership responsibility, no matter if she was encouraging him or not, he had the leadership responsibility, and God judged him and he took his life. Naomi lost her husband, but she stayed. If God's judging, if God's bringing chastisement down on your life and you lose fellowship with God and then you lose your husband, wake up and go back to home, back home. Wake up and repent and go back into fellowship with God. You still have your two sons. They stayed. Verse 5 and 6, they only lost her two sons. And now she sees herself as being empty. Yeah. And she returns. Which is the hallelujah. Because if you're God's child, you'll always be God's child. And God always has a home for you. If you're full, God has a home for you and you can appreciate and you be thankful for it. If you're empty, as long as you still have air in your lungs, God has a home for you. Yeah. Did you see what Ruth said in chapter 1 and verse 21? I went out full, and the Lord, God worked all this in her life, have brought me home. She's empty, but she's back home. By her own testimony. No one else could have told her this is God doing all. No, but by her own testimony, she says, I wish I've acknowledged what I had when I had it. I can't go back. What I've lost, I've lost. And I'm empty. But I'm home. Yeah. God does not want us to be empty. No matter what we've gone through, no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter what we've lost, can I tell you, you still have breath in your lungs. You still have an opportunity to accomplish something with the rest of your life. I love this thought. God does not plan our ruin. He plans our refinement. What God is allowing, what God brings into our lives is to get us back on track. To help us to see the future and the refinement to accomplish what you can still accomplish in the future. If we stay on empty, it's because we choose not to fill up. Yeah. God brought her home. She wants to stay on empty, or would she now put her life and her effort into this Moabitess that was somewhat innocent in this whole ordeal, but she turned to God, and even through this terrible situation, God made something good come out of it. And Ruth was what was good, turned away from her heathen belief, and she received the God of Israel as her God. And she come home with Ruth, and they started looking for God's plan of redemption. Through a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. If we stay on empty, It's because we fail to fill up. Luke in chapter 15, you'll not turn there, and I'm almost done. This is it. Everyone here understands and knows the story of the prodigal. Almost identical in many ways. He didn't realize what he had with a father and a family and a home. He thought he was empty because he didn't have what the world had. And can I tell you, Satan will deceive you in thinking that the world has more than you have. And it took God's judging him, where he was about to take his own life. I've talked to a lot of people in my years of ministry. One, I knocked on the door. He came to the door. And he said, later on, he told me, I didn't know at the time. He said, before you knocked on that door, I had a pistol in my mouth. And I was getting ready to pull the trigger. And somebody knocked on my door. He was on empty. But God says, I'll give you one last chance to fill up. To fill up. The prodigal was on empty. The Bible says, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and fill up. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And when he did that, God started filling his tank. When Naomi let God lead her back home, God revealed his plan for Ruth. And in closing, in Ruth in chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15, it was not only to use Ruth and to bless Ruth, but it was to bless Naomi, to help her to refill her tank. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Your life will have purpose again, Naomi. There's a future plan for you. There is blessings in your future. There is joy in your future. You do not have to stay on empty. Because you're home. Because you come home. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And she gave birth to the grandpa of King David and was a part of the lineage of Christ. I don't know where you're at right now, but I know one thing. If you're listening to the devil without even realizing it, you have more than what you realize you have. Be thankful. Look to God. Don't let Satan take you out of the will of God and take that tank from full to being empty. You might be in between. You might be somewhere in between tonight before you leave here. Go home. Go home. There's blessings in store for you if you just turn back to God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. She went out full. She comes back empty, but with an opportunity to refill. With an opportunity to refill. Don't lose sight of what God wants to do for you. An opportunity to refill. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for this story in the book of Ruth about Naomi. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to learn the very same things, and possibly without having to lose what Naomi lost, to realize we have more than the devil wants us to believe. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.